This is a continuation of our interview with Mr. Samuel Sharon, tape 2, side 1. Before we get to the Einsatzgruppen, could you tell us how many days you were on this march from Warsaw?
Yes, on this march to Warsaw we were about 3 to 4 days, from Warsaw to Kutno. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what town we are going, but Kutno was the last one. Mm-hmm. We got finally on the road. When we got to Kutno, we slept overnight. It was raining, pouring, and we were on a field open, and the guards were around us. And they put us into the cattle trains, 110-8 cattle train, and the front doors were wide open for themselves. And we were cut off on the sides. We could not even stand. We just had to sit one against each other. We had some Greek Jews, and this I saw with my own eyes. The thirst was unbelievable. The Greeks, they could not take it so much, you know. They drank their own urine. And you know, urine is salty by itself. And I saw this with my own eyes. When we came, finally, when we arrived, we marched out with about 5,000 inmates, we came to Dachau, but maybe about 2,500. The other half were all dead. When we got to Dachau, after a week on a train, when we got to Dachau, there was another selection then.
Now, before we go into that, do you want to go back and tell us about the Einsatzgruppen?
Oh, yes.
Jurisdiction. You were in Barbarossa.
Yes. Well, the Einsatzgruppen were, they were organized that they had Lithuanians, Ukrainians, Latvians, Estonians with the SS behind the Gestapo and the Sicherheitsdienst.
Security.
They went from town to town, in every town in Lithuania, in Latvia, not so much in Estonia because there wasn't many Estonian Jews. In the Ukraine, in White Russia, Minsk, Pinsk, Volomir, all of these towns, and they were shooting Jews from by the night. They used to take them out in masses, thousands. They in fact, some of the guards used to go insane. The only way they could do it is they used to make them drunk. Now these groups were organized before. In fact, there was a The way I learned that afterwards, there was a camp near Dresden. They were sent there in Saxonia, how to torture,
to be trained
for that particular details.
Yes.
They had a Sonderkommando, they called them.
Yes.
And they went, and that group, nach Osten, that's called Barbarossa, that was, and that's why they probably killed over 2 million Jews that way alone, by going from town to town. And their hands were bloody.
Now, did you hear about this?
Yes, we could not see it because we were already in a concentration camp, but I heard from eyewitnesses that ran away from the dead graves.
You heard like after the war?
Right after the war. My cousin, in fact, he was in camp. He ran away with the partisans, mm-hmm. and he fought in the woods. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned, he knew what was going on in the Poroni woods.
Near Vilna.
Near Vilna.
Yes, and in Babi Yar.
In Babi Yar. Well, Babi Yar was already in Ukraine. But that was specially...
Yes, they were specially organized.
Organized for that particular...
he went in with the German army.
With the German army.
Yes, yes.
So when we got to Warsaw, to Dachau, mm-hmm. we were in Dachau for about a month. Mm-hmm. And then... From Dachau, we went to...
What did you do there, Mr.?
In Dachau, we were... they was
in
giving
transit.
In transit, and tells us again what we can do, what we cannot do, like a quarantine.
Did you get any better food?
No. Not much. I think it was a little bit maybe better than Warsaw. Mm-hmm. But...
not enough.
No, never enough.
Never enough.
Never. You were always hungry. You walked around in hunger and in pain constantly. Constantly. I weighed maybe about 60 pounds.
The end of the war. were?
Yes, 60, 65 pounds.
So from Dachau?
So from Dachau, they sent us to Mühldorf. M-U-H-L-D-O-R-F.
A camp in Germany.
Camp in Germany. That was in Niedersachsonia. Lower Saxon.
Right.
No, neither Bavaria, pardon me, I'm sorry.
Lower Bavaria.
It's quite a distance from Munich, but because Munich is Oberbayern, Upper Bavaria. That was neither Bavaria. And there already we had our commander was a SS, not a SS, but it was a Wehrmacht captain. But his assistant was SS.
I see.
We used to go to the Hauptbaustelle, the main workplace. We build a building so when the Luftwaffe wants to repair their planes, they should be able to fly, I mean, to taxi underneath. So it shouldn't be outside and being
conspicuous,
or bombarded by the Allies. Mm-hmm. And we worked there two shifts, day and night. We carried the cement on our backs. And that was my father, I think, developed bronchial disease in his lungs from the dust. Because he was very sick at the very end before he died.
Did you work under?
Yes, I worked in the same.
But work under one of the big industrial enterprises,
yes,
like
that,
Farben?
That must have been IG Farben, because I didn't know what it was, but we called the Hauptbaustelle. We did have those yellow hats there, and they were plain Germans. I don't know what, they probably belonged to the party, I am sure.
But they worked side by side
they
with
worked,
you?
They didn't work, no, they gave the order, they were the big shots.
I see.
We worked, only inmates did work.
Were there non-Jewish workers?
A few. Very few non-Jews, also criminals.
I see.
But not as much as we had in Warsaw or Auschwitz.
I see.
In Warsaw, I think we had just a whole barrack full of Germans. There was a German barrack that Jews were not allowed to be with.
And was the food here a little
The food...
Better? Did you get a little more?
Not more, but maybe it was a little bit better. But here again, you still were hungry. You were still hungry. And there we had already Jewish women that used to work also at the...
In this...
At the detail of the constructions. We worked day and night, and that was torture there. We used to have to carry those bags, cement, and pour in with the water to mix, you know,
the cement mixes,
you know. And from there we used to carry on these lighters right into, you know, to the place to put in, because that consisted of iron and cement, these outside walls. We did not finish that the job because we were there only a year. Okay. And then, of course, in 1945, around April the 18th or the 20th, it became an order that we are going to be transferred and exchanged into the Alps. That everybody was going to be exchanged for German troops.
You knew already the Germans were losing the war.
Well, apparently we had a feeling that something is wrong, but we didn't know. We only prayed one thing. We could not understand if there was a war going on, and we knew the Americans were involved. Why could not this place be bombed in Auschwitz, more so than anywhere else? Because this was a machine. It went day and night. So
they easily could have bombed it.
They should have bombed it. And at that time, at least much more Jews would have been, we would have maybe killed, but so what? But maybe so many Jews would have been alive.
Of course.
Maybe millions, the Hungarian Jews that came late. For them it sure was plenty of time.
Yeah, there were 400,000 in Paris.
That's right. So finally they put us into a cattle trains, and we were traveling for a couple days. And all of a sudden, the doors were opened up, and we were told it was in Pocking, P-O-C-K-I-N-G, in Bavaria.
In the Alps.
Close to the Alps, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The doors were opened up?
And they said, you can go.
Oh, my.
So everybody was happy. Everybody was trying to
to jump
and dance and kiss whoever the few survived. And then all of a sudden we see the Germans coming, Luftwaffe, no SS, the Luftwaffe.
Bombing.
No, not bombing. They surrounded us and they said, you Jews, you escaped. And they put us all in a big field. They had the machine guns on the street. And they were ready to kill us, to shoot us. My father says to me, come son, give me your hand. If we'll die together. And I gave him my hand. And then, excuse me. And then the burgomaster from that town came and he said the Jews did not escape.
Oh my.
They were told that they can
leave.
You see, but we didn't know what they know, what is Brighamized, and the Americans were close by. That was
so
close by. I'm talking about April already, maybe the 25th, 6th.
Oh, close to the end.
We didn't know nothing. So again, they took us back into this group, into the trains.
They responded to the Brighamized.
Yes, they listened and they did not kill us. They gathered us together again. And they put it back into the trains, and again started to go back and forth, back and forth. Then, and the Germans already had their machine guns on top. Mm-hmm. The Americans, with their planes, saw a transport with the machine gun on top. They thought it's a
army.
German Wehrmacht. They started to shoot up the train. They shot us up. As we were running out from the, they opened up the doors again to, we should go underneath, the SS guards. And a lot of them got killed that way.
By
the Americans. Because these planes, they came down low over our heads and the bullets straight. Then they gathered us back again and again into the trains. We went back and then we saw we going forth. We go back again. We knew that something isn't right. We thought maybe they taking us into the right place to let us out, and then that'll be the end. I mean, they'll shoot us. Finally, the 28th of April, in a town called Seeshaupt, S-E-E-S-H-A-U-P-T, Seeshaupt, near Feldafing, or Mittenwald, or Garmisch, it's all in the same area. The doors were opened up. We were afraid to go. We thought maybe it's another trick. And we see different kind of army. And then we saw it's the USA. We started to jump, and then the Americans came over to us. And they said, don't worry about it. You are free. And you can do whatever you want. And they gave us rations. And, you know, they gave us food, and people started to drink, you know, they had the evaporated milk, cans of milk. And a lot of them, a lot of them died. A lot of them, my friends.
You knew enough not to eat too much.
No, I drank too, but I figured I'll wait, I'm free. I'll eat a little at a time, because I didn't want to stop myself. I thought I'm still in camp, I'm going to put away a little bit for later.
Yes.
You know, it's a psychological thing. And then we were liberated. Right near Feldafing, he says, Haupt. And from there, we were transferred, of course. We were in Feldafing about 1 week. And then I went to Munich.
Did you get some medical treatment? Did your father
yes,
get some
we medical? Got some medical treatment. My father got some medical treatment. Somebody went to St. Ottilia. There was for lung sick people in Bavaria.
Your
was sent,
was
for sent there. He was there for a while. And he developed polycythemia, which is a very rich, thick blood. Every month, or whatever, reached a certain grade, number 60, they had to take it out a bottle full to thin it out. But the doctor kept him a long time. And then, of course, he developed, later in the years, he suffered a lot. He developed a heart obstruction and enlarged liver and spleen. And before he died in June, at the age of 88, in fact, yesterday, he would have been 89 years old, would he have lived.
Amazing. He must have been very hardy.
Yes, yes, he was. Yes. And, you know, to me, he was never old. I always see him as young, as I knew him. And, of course, my mother, she was a very educated person. She taught in the University of Riga.
Before she was born?
Before, yes.
Oh, my.
And mathematics.
Oh, yes.
And her brother was acted in the Jewish theater. He was he got a big prize for painting Dr. Herzl's picture. Was very much involved in Zionism. So that was the story.
You stayed with father in Feldman?
In only 1 week.
And then Munich, you went to Munich together?
I went in Munich together, and then I got involved with the American Army.
Uh-huh.
And I was with the American Army.
You were by then, what, about 15?
I was, 15, 16. And I came here to the age of 16. I told them, I lied to them too, I went the same age. I wanted to be with the Americans, you know.
So did you work with them?
We used to confiscate cars from the Germans, from the Nazis, and give it to the military personnel. So actually I was with the military government. We used to go to Dachau, we had the SS troops there, prisoners. We used to get them to fix cars.
I see.
And they were stationed in Dachau. I was with the uniform. Oh yeah, with the gun and everything.
A little bit of vengeance.
Vengeance.
A
but little. I didn't take no vengeance, you know. I should have. They wouldn't give me the same courtesy the way I gave it to them. And they say, you know, me, I was a good assessment. The only assessment that was good, it was a dead one. You know, you could tell. They had, you know, a marking over here, too.
Yes.
One guy escaped from us, you know.
Is that so?
Yeah. But he was... He was a mechanic. But, you know, everybody tells, we were on the front, we were not behind. They knew exactly what was going on. And everybody says to me, Sam, your opinion, do you think that the German population, they claim they didn't know about this? And I'll say, I tell them that. There was no German family that didn't have anyone on the Russian front. They came for a vacation or whatever during the 2-3 years. They seen a lot. There is no way that they would not tell their wives, their brothers, or sons to the parents.
And train conductors. Train,
exactly.
And camp commanders.
It's exactly.
And all of the
But on the other hand, now, they tell me, how do you feel about the Germans now? I must say this. These Germans, and you have a lot of them here, and you have a lot of them non-Germans that are here in the United States that actually killed Jewish children. They were guards. But you know, go find them.
Well,
the dead people cannot come from the ground to point a finger. But the ones that we do know, they should get their punishment.
Absolutely.
Without fail.
Well, you see,
and now it's late already. They already lived so many more years.
It's the terrible neglect, criminal neglect of our government.
That's right.
They protected them since the 50s.
Oh, absolutely they did.
And now the
like
prosecution.
When you talk about Barbie, that you hear all these things in here. This is open facts.
Oh, yeah. And there are hundreds in this country.
Hundreds.
And, you see, Mrs. Holtzman, unfortunately, is no longer in
and
Congress.
That's right, she is not.
She pushed it, yes.
And so many of them, you know, came in as DPs, as displaced persons.
They lied.
They are now, some of them are in Chicago right now.
Oh, and in Philadelphia.
And that's right. And I asked the guy that is in Chicago now, and I asked him, I said, look, you were there. Maybe my mother or maybe my sisters survived, maybe they are somewhere in Russia. He says, no, I saw them on the truck. Now, what has he got business to see him on a truck?
He's saying that he saw
them. He said he saw them, my mother or my sisters,
on the truck
to go to that main execution place.
Execution
spot. So he says, well, everybody was watching there, you know, they was taking those poor Jews, you know.
Poor.
Yeah, okay. So,
well,
and that's what happened.
Mr. Sharon, I can't express our thanks deeply enough.
Right.
Would you want to say a few words now to the young generation?
Well, what I say, I can say this, that we must, as long as we are still alive and actually witnesses, life witnesses to these murderous acts and to that genocide, we must remember and tell our generations and our children and our children's children for generations to come that this, such a massacre to the, on the Jewish people should never come again. And not only to the Jewish people could come, this could be happen to anybody. Therefore, we must tell Jewish children and non-Jewish population that they should be on guard constantly against dictatorship, against such a lunatics like you have now Gaddafi, or a few years back you know you had Idi Amin,
yes,
or Khomeini.
Same type.
Still is the same type. And for this we must guard ourselves, because what the Jewish people suffered, 6 million of them, I don't think that ever in the history of mankind was actually a systematic killing and genocide ever happened, what happened in the 1930, between 1935 and 45, within the Hitler era.
Yes. No precedent.
No precedent.
No parallel.
And so many innocent children, women, old men, learned men, rabbis, professors, so many people that gave so much to humanity.
Yes.
And they were the first ones to go.
Yes. Thank you again very much.
Thank you for having me.